The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Beth Moore provides guidance to navigate the choices we face in life.
You could not possibly have known that. Where you were more shocked than the other person was, because you thought, I promise you that wasn't me. How did you know that? I have absolutely no idea. You know it's happened. You know it's happened.
Discovering spiritual discernment, next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so very much for joining us. And it's that special day of the week, Wednesdays with Beth.
Well, and I'm James, and this is Betty, and we're always thrilled to come into your home or wherever you're watching. We have a wonderful audience. I see some faith Christian shirts out here. I know that's what this is. This is a Grapevine Faith. It's a wonderful Christian school that teaches the kind of principles that I wish every school in the nation taught, because they have a worldview that is transforming, and God knows we need some transformation here at home and all over the world. Well, this is something that Beth Moore is going to talk about. She's going to talk about spiritual discernment. Sometimes you have to wonder how much discernment of character and of truth people have. Always know, much of the major media, if not the majority of major media, will ignore truth or misrepresent it. So you have to have discernment to recognize truth. And I pray that you hear what Beth is sharing about spiritual discernment. Here's Beth Moore.
I want to take you now to Matthew chapter 13. This is so good. Matthew 13, verse 11, he replied, this is Jesus, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." What in the world is he talking about? Like, they have human vision, but they cannot see. They have human hearing, but they cannot understand. Look at him explain it here in verse 14. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise," look at these words, because I want you to see them. We're going to turn them from their negative context into the positive side of it with what God would tell us in the rest of the New Testament, in the establishment of the New Testament church. It says this, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Okay, listen carefully to this. He says, I don't want you to just see. I want you to perceive. I don't just want you to hear. I want you to understand. I want you to know beyond the obvious. I want you to know and be able to see and be able to experience what is beyond just what is natural before you. I don't just want your eyesight. I want your vision, perception, understanding. And he says right after that, then you will turn and you will be healed. So much of our healing, when you and I have been through the devastations that just living for any length of time on planet Earth will invariably bring. It won't be being able to see with a human eyes that will bring us the kind of restoration we need. In order to be restored, we need perception. We need to perceive more than we'd be able to gaze upon with our human eyes. We need understanding, not just hearing. That's where our healing will come from. That's where our hearts will be turned and we'll know that there is something so much greater than anything we could touch or feel on this planet in the natural realm. I just think continually, Lord, if I would cooperate with you, what would you really show me? If I would really give you an ear to unstop, what would you do? What would you do? I have a really good friend back in the Houston area who is a chiropractor, and I had never been to a chiropractor before, and I had gotten to know her, and it's just its own kind of approach, and so I've been so intrigued by her and by the way she sees things from a spinal point of view. Everything comes from that same reference point, and so I was telling her one day, she said, "You sound stopped up." I said, "I am getting the worst cold," and she said, "You want me to help you out with that?" I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And so first of all, she took something, I don't know what, it kind of smelled like a little mentholish, I guess like a liquid Vicks vapor rub of some kind, and she presses it on my sinuses. But what she did next, I could not have been ready for. She then takes her hands, and she pulls my ears, and when she pulls them, I can hear them unfolding like an accordion. I mean, it's like, whoa, whoa, what? I said, "What did you do?" I mean, I need you to know, I felt like my ears were sticking out a foot from each side. All day, I was completely aware. When I went and got back in the car, it was like I had to open the car door like this and scoot in like this. And then, you know, you just, like, leave the window down so your ear can stick out. Every conversation I had from that point on all day long, I wanted to say to them, I had to resist it, but I wanted to say, "You're staring at my ears, aren't you?" I mean, I just kept pulling my hair over. I've never, but you know what? I could hear. When he gives us ears to hear, what would he tell us? I want you to jot down another address, and then we'll get on with our series, Psalm 19:12. Jot that down, Psalm 19:12. The psalmist David asks a very important question that will become extremely vital to us in our present series. He says this, "Who can discern his errors?" Who can discern his errors? Not just know them, discern them. Who can discern his errors? Listen carefully. This is what I've come to tell you. If you have the Holy Spirit of the living Christ dwelling in you, empowering you, and you have access to the completed canon of the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation, I'll tell you who can discern her errors. You can. I'll tell you who can discern his errors. You can. We can actually discern our errors. We can make a judgment about something, walk away from it, and think, you know what? I'm getting a check in my spirit. I'm getting a check in my something's wrong there. Something's wrong. Or we can pass up an opportunity and think later, as we're just sitting before the Lord, as we're just hashing the thing out, you know what? I think I'm supposed to call them back. I do think I'm supposed to do that. To be able to discern the plan of God and the next move for our lives through His Spirit. Who can discern her errors? His errors? We can. We can. I wonder how many of us can look back over the course of our lives and think, you know, only God could have told me to do that. Before we look at the times that we have done the wrong thing, and missed the discernment or missed the warning. Before we do that, I want you to just think back on the course of your life about the times you got it right and you know good and well you could not possibly have known that. Where you were more shocked than the other person was because you thought, "I promise you that wasn't me. How did you know that?" I have absolutely no idea. You know it's happened. You know it's happened. Times when you knew to make that move. Times when you felt like that you were just like tossing it up. You were nearly mentally throwing the dice. And then you realized later, no, I was not. The Holy Spirit made that choice for me. That was the right choice. That was the right move. And I didn't even have the human rationale to put that together. Times we got it right. But what about the times we did not listen to it? You know, a lesson learned is a lesson learned, even if you learn it the hard way. And sometimes a lesson sticks with us all the better and all the longer if we learned it a very difficult way. What I'm sharing with you over the coming weeks is my usual approach to teaching. If I'm going to teach with passion, it's going to be something that is a fresh work to me, something that I have recently gone through, something that has caused the Word of God to leap off the page at me. And this is one for me because I blew it recently. I blew it. And I'm telling you what God began to teach me. I've looked back over the course of it and I thought to myself, you know what? He allowed me that very walk so that I would turn around, study this out, and bring this message. I'm positive of it. I'm positive of it. And about a year ago, I received a package in the mail that had a letter of great interest. Someone in my office handed it to me and said, Beth, I know that you get a lot of things put in your hands, and I know that you try to get to them all as fast as you can, but you're going to need to let this one go to the top of the list because you are going to love this. And sure enough, I did. In fact, I did wait until I was through that present conference. I put it in my bag, took it with me, got to the end of the conference, was at the airport ready to come back when I began to see this whole story unfold. A woman had written me a letter, and there was a book in the package as well, and then there was a decision card from one of our Living Proof Live events. And in the letter, she says, I am a Holocaust survivor. And she's in her 70s, and she goes on to tell me her story. And she said that a book had been written about her life, and that was the book that she had included in the package. And she said all of what she had been through, and it was a dramatic, dramatic story, as you might imagine. And not only the obvious of surviving the Holocaust, she had gone in when she was 3 years old and come out when she was 8 years old and did not even know her name until she tracked it down through other resources later. It was the most fascinating story you've ever heard. And not only that, then she had gone on to have a husband and a son, only to lose both of them in the course of the decades that transpired. And so at this point, she's telling me in the letter, she said, I've included the decision card that I had at your recent event because there I received Christ as my personal Savior. And she said, I'm coming to an event, and she told me in about a month, and she said, I would love it if while I am there, you would baptize me. Well, some of you are going to smile with me when I tell you this. Others are going to think, well, that's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. But I come from a very, very conservative denomination, and I promise you that I'm not really going to get the blessing to go baptize anybody. It's just not, I would really cause a lot of people to stumble in the area that I come from, denominationally speaking. And so that was out of the question. But I did get a good friend who is an ordained minister to go with me. I cannot tell you what all we put together so that we could be at this event and afterwards spend all this time with her and then in a service, in a small church, baptize her. And I did indeed go into the water with her, got my own feet wet in those waters, put on a robe. We taped the whole thing. It was a wonderful day. And I told her after that, I said, listen, I want you to know in advance. In fact, I told her this right after I read all the material and talked to her on the phone. I said, I would never exploit you. This will be between us. I said, I will not be telling the group that at the event that you are there. She goes, oh, please, by all means, do. By all means, do tell them. I want them to know. This is a very exciting time for me. So I did exactly that. Not only that, I told her story in a couple of very large surroundings and read excerpts from her life story out of the book. Some weeks went by, and I was walking into my house after eating dinner with Keith out that night. That's how we eat dinner. And I know he's listening. I know he just said that. That's why I wanted to beat him to it. I'm listening to you, honey. I'm listening to you. And so I got a text, kind of got a ping on my iPhone from my assistant, who at that time of night normally would not be contacting me about a work item. She said, I have some news, and I feel free to tell you this part of the name because it was the name that was in the book. She said, I have some news about Hannah, and it's knit good. She meant to write not good, but she wrote N-I-T good, knit good, knit good. And I looked at it, I thought, knit good, is it? Knit good. And so I knew immediately, I stopped on my back porch, texted back. I said, it's not true, is it? She said, no, it is not. I want to tell you why I'm bringing you this message and why we're talking about spiritual discernment. Because I knew it. I knew it. I knew it wasn't. Everything in me jumped over it, only I could not put my finger on it. And there was a book, and it was down there in facts on a page. Everything seemed, every duck seemed to be in a row, but something in me, over and over, I thought to myself, and I asked myself this question, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? And you would doubt this kind of thing. Who in the world, this is what I said, who in the world would lie about something like that? Well, she would. And she's not the only one. There are big talk show hosts that have now come back to tell us that so-and-so that appeared on their program with this big, huge story, maybe this big, huge book, huge testimony, had made up the entire thing, and she had done exactly that, to the point that she had told a historian the whole story, had gotten so many of the dates right on the occupations of forces and the Allied troops going in to free that camp. I don't know how she might have known. I'd written it in a couple of Bible studies that my father had been among those Allied soldiers that had gone in to free that exact camp. And see, so I got all tied up in the fact that my father was part of her liberation. Is this making any sense to anybody? Only for it to turn out to be a complete lie. Now, I knew it in my spiritual gut. That's what we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. How to know when to go with our gut. When the Holy Spirit is telling us something, we're thinking in the natural realm, you know what, this really seems to add up. But something feels wrong in here. Something's up. Something's up. Or maybe something feels right. I think this is what I'm supposed to do. Doesn't make a lot of sense financially. It doesn't make a lot of sense logistically. But I do think this is the will of God. This is the next step for my life. When to know to go with your gut.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Wow. And even what Beth just touched on, when you've got pressing economic challenges, to base everything simply on economics, not necessarily best. You know, Betty, we made a decision years ago for our family. We moved out in the country. A lot of what was around us was farmland and floodplain land, but it was a whole community just out in the middle of nowhere, and we bought there, and actually bought several acres on a beautiful creek. Most of it was in the floodplain, but it was pretty, but it was for our children. It became not only meaningful for the children, but it became an incredible financial blessing. Mm-hmm. Because who would have ever thought that we would have settled in Colleyville, on the Colleyville-South Lake border? Well, the whole community exploded during the next 30 years. What a blessing it's been to us and our family. What kind of decision? A financial decision? No. A family decision. And God led us in the middle of nowhere to accomplish His purpose. But there were other benefits. But we didn't put the fringe benefits or the economics first. We put God first. Now, I want to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to begin releasing a river of love. And when that river flows, you'll be amazed at how much freedom it gives you. Release God's love. Get caught up in what God is interested in and watch God's focus on your interest. And watch how He redirects your interest. I want to show you something. Right here are some little bitty shoes. And we got a whole lot of bigger shoes. But these are so cute. But we know little children that need shoes. And we want to give them shoes for Christmas. Well, we have to raise the funds now. I want you to listen to one of our missionaries. I want you to listen to the heart of God.
Thank you. know, we provide food, we provide shelter, we're doing all of these things, water, that are really matters of life and death for children. And yet, at times, it's also nice just to do something out of the ordinary, just to do something that's a little extraordinary, and to be able to give children something like a pair of shoes. And the Shoes for Life program is not just providing shoes for children like these precious children here in Africa. It's providing shoes for children all over the world. Children who desperately need shoes. So please, I want to ask you to give these children and children all around the world a special gift. A gift that is a luxury. Not to you and I, but a luxury to these precious little children. The gift of a pair of shoes, and put a smile on a child's face.
Thank you, James and Betty. Well, you need to hear that to you. That's a thank you to you. And you know, Betty, as I was watching the children there, and I saw two little girls with Isaac Pretorius, one of our lead missionaries on the continent of Africa, walking with two little girls. I guess they were sisters, but they were dressed almost identically. You can see them. And I then looked at the other children there, and these were children, obviously, that had been in the feeding programs, that had been cared for, likely had a water well drilled nearby. So Isaac is now comfortable talking about doing something that's not just life and death, but something additional, a little gift that's special. But what I was thinking is all those children also had clothes on that were given. And do you know where most of the clothes come from? They come from the European nations because the shipping costs are so much less. We don't even ask you here in North America to give clothes for the children, because the shipping costs would make it actually easier just to buy them over there and give them to them. But the European people are giving these children those clothes. But now we never thought about, until a few years ago, we never thought about giving shoes for Christmas. And I think it's exciting.
I think it just brings joy to my heart. You know, I can remember our oldest daughter. She loved her shoes. She used to sleep in her shoes. I used to have to take them off after she'd gone to sleep and put them back on her before she woke
right.
up.
Got
but up. You know, I think about these precious children. They've never had their first pair of shoes. And it will mean so much more than they even realize. It will protect their precious little feet from cuts and bruises and disease, James. And they can run, and you saw the little girl dancing around. I mean, it's just so precious. And I can be a part of that, and you can be a part of that. Let's do this for the children. Let's give them some shoes.
And you know, really, it does stop disease. I know, Betty, earlier when we were watching this clip from Africa just now with you, when that toe that was so abscessed and infected, you turned toward me, you turned away, and that's a normal response. But if you turn away and then you don't look back and do something, then you don't get to see what I heard you laughing and smiling about at the end of that clip. And that was when the little girls were happy and when the little child was dancing. You went from, oh no, to, oh, that's wonderful. And what made the wonderful was someone gave them shoes. Would you do the wonderful? Would you express the one whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God? Would you express the love and life of Jesus by dialing that number that's always there if you want someone to pray for you because your heart's broken? Always there. Even today, 80% of the calls will be for prayer. I'm asking you to be part of the 20% and even raise the number of calls who will say, we're going to give shoes. Could you give 40 children shoes? They cost $3.60 a pair, $3.60 a pair. $36, 10 children, pairs of shoes. 72, 20 children. 144, and I will always ask you, stretch your faith, stretch the love, put arms around as many children as possible. Could you help 40 children? Could you do that? Dial the number. Use your bank card like a check, please. Or go online, lifetoday.org. Would you do that now? We want to get the necessary support to give 200,000 pairs of shoes, 200,000 children. We want to be able to give it to them everywhere it's possible by Christmas. And we've got to get it ahead of time so the missionaries can deliver. We're also going to give smiles, surgeries for cleft palate, facial deformity, and give children a smile. Those surgeries cost $500 each. Could you give a surgery? Smiles, could you give two of them? Would you do that? Could you give shoes? Could you do some of both? We're asking you to simply do what God puts in your heart, but do something, because it'll mean so much if it's 10 children and a love gift of $36. It has a big impact. Thank you for making that call. Thank you for your help. We have some gifts that'll bless you, but you're giving a wonderful gift of God's love.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. Life Outreach International has developed a durable all-terrain shoe especially made for the harshest conditions and children of all ages. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request the best-selling inspirational devotional by Sarah Young, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 2 children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I really want to encourage you, if you could possibly help us give a child a smile for Christmas and do those surgeries. They're $500 each. The shoes, as I said, $144 will give 40 children shoes, 40 pairs of shoes. But if you could make a substantial gift, and any gift is substantial because it impacts lives, but we want to send you the Heart of the Father bronze. Absolutely beautiful. You'll treasure it. It'll become a conversation piece where you can point to the Heart of the Father. So help us provide shoes and smiles for Christmas, and we say thank you so much for doing it.
Tomorrow, a man who worked in the Twin Towers on September 11th tells his story.
So we heard an incredible explosion, and which kind of rattled the building.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.